Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
God has called us to be judges. He wants us to be judges. God is looking for those that will judge with him. We looked over at Psalm 82 where it says in verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. And that word among can also be translated in association with. So God judges in association with the gods. Well, who are the gods? Well, we looked into that already, and it's you and I. We're more gods than we are human beings because we are children of the Most High God. I didn't say we're God, but we are children of the Most High God. Therefore, we aren't just humans. We're gods. And that's all according to the scriptures. That's according to the Bible. God's trying to get that over to us. God wants that to get over to us so we understand who you and I have been created to be. We're to be like the Most High. And he is looking for those that he can trust with his judgments. God is a God of judgment. And so we are to be legal professionals, spiritual legal professionals. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 3 declares, "Do you not know?" Now think about those words right there. Do you not know? I mean, it's like even in that tone right there, those words. Do you not know? I mean, don't you know this? And yet so many don't. So many don't know this. So many don't know what he's about to say. He says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? That should be common knowledge among Christians. That we shall judge angels. Angels. And angels, I mean, these are incredible supernatural beings that have been around a whole lot longer than you and I. And yet God is doing such a work in our life, or desires to do such a work in our life, that we'll be able to stand one day and judge between angels. Judge an angel's case. Angels will come to the church for judgment. Will come to the saints for judgment. Think about that. See, we need to get a higher vision of ourselves. We need to see ourselves seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that seat is just like the seat of a judge. We sit as judges over God's creation. We're to be rulers and judges. I think it's the Common English Version. It's the CEV. It says, don't you know that we will judge? No, it's Christian English version. Don't you know that we shall judge angels? And if that is so, we can surely judge everyday matters. We should be good at being able to judge everyday matters, knowing that we are to be these incredible, supernatural, legal professionals. Now, unfortunately, many folks still judge things according to the flesh. But you and I are not to judge things according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. God's looking for spiritual judges, not fleshly judges. He wants us to be spiritual judges. And so that means we're not judging things according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. A spiritual judge in the Word of God is referred to as a wise man. A wise man. We see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 5, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, he says, is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? You can hear the frustration in his voice. And of course, it's not just the Apostle Paul, but it's the Holy Spirit in him. It's the Holy Spirit that inspired him to say what he said and write what he wrote. And so the Spirit of God's looking at this church. He's going, is there not one wise man among these people that can judge between their brethren? It was things they couldn't figure out. And what they were doing was judging everything according to the flesh. Thus, they were not good judges. Thus, they were not wise men and women. So to be a judge for God, you have to be a wise man, a wise woman. You have to have wisdom. You got to have wisdom. Now, we looked at Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go over there, Isaiah the 11th chapter. Somebody say, I'm coming up higher. Out of the carnal. Into the spiritual. I'm going to be a wise man. Walking in the Spirit. Judging things. According to the Spirit. According to the heart of God. According to the Word of God. See, I say, I'm coming up. See, we're not staying the same. Right? We're not going to stay the same. We're coming up. God wants to bring us up with this word tonight. He's not just looking to teach us something. He's looking to do something to us. He's looking to bring us up. Bring us up higher in our thinking. So that we take our place in Christ Jesus. Grow in the wisdom of God. And become the judges that He's created us to be. God's looking for kingdom rulers. Folks that will judge with Him throughout all eternity. He wants people coming to Him through you to receive His judgment, because the judgment you give is not of yourself. It's not according to the flesh, according to your own opinion, but it's according to the Word of God. It's according to the Spirit of God. It's according to the heart of God. And we're laying hold of the heart of God. We want to walk with the heart of God. Judge things according to the heart of God. Don't you? Yes, this is what God is looking for. It's a process. He's working with us. He's building us up. He's developing us as we yield and cooperate with Him. But if we don't have any kind of vision for our lives any more than what we're already walking in, or we just see ourselves just living a natural carnal life, then God's going to be limited in the work He can do in us to prepare us for the things He has for us to do in life. So we have to get this vision. We have to get our minds renewed to the Word of God, and thank God it's happening. So over here in Isaiah 11, verse 2, he says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Now notice, he talks about the fear of the Lord. Verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. Notice how the fear of the Lord and being able to judge things according to the Spirit go together. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us. And a judge, according to the Spirit, is a wise man. So to be a wise man, or I should say it this way, to be a judge, you need to be a wise man. To be a wise man, you need to first and foremost fear the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see that in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you don't know much at all. You know next to nothing if you don't fear the Lord. It's only to the degree we fear the Lord that we're going to have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of spiritual things. That's what we're talking about. We're not just talking about a natural knowledge, just a knowledge of carnal things, fleshly things. We're talking about a spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom, insight into the heart and mind of God. Think about that. You could have insight into the heart and mind of God. Well, see, it all starts with a fear of God, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. To despise can simply mean to treat lightly. How many people treating this word tonight lightly? No. We shouldn't be despising wisdom and instruction. The wisdom and instruction that comes from God, that comes from His Word. We take it very, very seriously. A fool treats it lightly. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So again, he's repeating himself. Why? Because it's important to get a hold of this. We need to have a good handle on the fear of the Lord. And notice, it's the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And like I said last time, the Bible says, and it's over in Proverbs 28, verse 5. I didn't give you the scripture last time, but it's Proverbs 28, verse 5. It says, evil men do not understand justice. If you're going to be a good judge, you have to understand justice, right? Well, he says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Whoo, I like that. Praise God. Those who seek the Lord, those who have the knowledge of the Holy One, they have understanding and they understand everything. Think about that. You and I can go through life understanding everything. There's no question too hard for us. There's no situation we don't understand. How to get through it, how to overcome it, how to get out of it. Right? How to conquer. How to triumph in every situation in life. How many want to triumph in every situation in life? Man, well, you're going to need understanding. It's going to take understanding to know how to deal with every situation in life. And you can understand every situation in life. You can understand all things. And how does that happen? It comes from seeking the Lord. Who are the ones that seek the Lord? Those who fear the Lord. Now, where does the fear of the Lord come from? A fear of the Lord comes from knowing that God is a judge. That God is a God of judgment. When we understand that He's a God of judgment and He's not partial in His judgment, that God, when His yes is yes, His no is no. In other words, He doesn't compromise for anybody. You know, a lot of times people get the idea they have some kind of special thing between them and God. You know, you can get these warm, fuzzy feelings about yourself, and you begin to feel, you know, that, you know, God wouldn't judge you because you have some kind of special thing. He knows your heart, right? He knows your heart, so He'd never judge you. Well, His yes is yes, His no is His no. Right is right, wrong is wrong. We're either in or we're out. We're either for Him or we're against Him. So we got to understand that about God's judgment. It is severe in that it is uncompromising, unwavering. And it doesn't matter who you are. You could be His own son or daughter. And if you walk in rebellion towards His word, if you go against His will and His ways of doing things, judgment will come. Unless, of course, we judge ourselves. And how do we judge ourselves? We recognize where we've missed it, and we plead the blood of Jesus. Because like I said last time, all sin has to be judged. All sin has to be paid for. There isn't one sin the size of a crumb that can get past God. All sin has to be judged. Thank God Jesus took the penalty for every sin we ever committed or ever will commit. Right? He took the penalty for all sin. So if we do miss it, if we do sin, then we recognize it, we acknowledge it, we confess it. We confess it, and we do it in the name of Jesus. And then the payment that Jesus paid for our sins washes it all away. And we stand clean of that thing. But it has to be judged. It has been judged. But if we continue to walk in it, then we're going to have that judgment of that sin to come upon ourselves. Jesus took our judgment. There's no reason for us to take judgment upon ourselves. That's why we confess our sins. I said, that's why we confess our sins. So we could take it and say, I missed it, but Jesus paid for it. Jesus bore this sin in his body. He took this on the tree for me. And he bore all the consequences of the sin. He took the full curse of the law upon himself so that I could be clean and righteous and free of that thing and have no sense of condemnation or inferiority about me whatsoever. I can come boldly before the throne of grace with my head lifted up high to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you'd really be saying thank you, Jesus, if you understood how severe God's judgment is. So we fear God because we understand he's a judge. He's a God of judgment. So therefore, we fear him. And because we fear him, if we were to miss it, we judge ourselves. Because we fear his judgment, we judge ourselves. And once we judge ourselves, there's no fear of being judged. See, I fear his judgment, but I'm not in fear of being judged. I fear his judgment, therefore I confess my sin. I judge myself. So now there's no fear of being judged. So therefore, if the devil comes along and tries to, well, you did this, you did that, oh, this is happening because of this or that, say, nah, I've got confidence. I've got confidence that if I judge myself, I'll not be judged. And all the consequences with it were all laid upon Jesus. So we could stand up tall and we could be bold as lions, right? Because we've been justified. We've been justified by Christ Jesus. But if you fear the Lord, that's what you do. You're going to judge yourself. And we need to have the fear of the Lord to qualify as a judge. How many people fear his judgment? See, to the degree you fear his judgment, to the degree we're not going to mess around with things that come under judgment. There's no sneaking around with God. Did you know that? There's no sneaking around with God. God knows everything that's going on. You know, you can sneak around people, and people might not know what's going on, but God knows everything that's going on. Nothing gets by him. And he's the just judge of all the earth. And so he can't just let things go. He's got to judge it. So he'll deal with his people to judge themselves. He'll convict them. He'll deal with them. But if they resist, don't judge themselves, then they will experience that judgment. Now again, going back to Isaiah 11, verse 2 again, he says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is talking about an anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, Jesus said. This is talking about being anointed. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. You can actually like the fear of the Lord. Delight in it. Delight in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. I just want to go back and look at that again. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So he's talking about wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, the fear of the Lord as an anointing upon our life to be able to judge things, not according to how they appear, but to be able to judge with righteous judgment. Judge things according to the Spirit. We're to be anointed judges. Well, how do we get this anointing? Well, it goes with everything I've been saying. It's right here in Psalm 45, verse 7. He says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. What? He's anointed you. See, that's what Isaiah 11 just talked about this anointing. The anointing of wisdom, knowledge, counsel, might, and the fear of the Lord. We want this anointing upon our life. How do you get this anointing on your life? You love righteousness. You love righteousness, hate wickedness. Another translation says lawlessness. You hate lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now, that word righteousness, when you look it up, it means, in the Hebrew, it means justice. What is right or just of judges, rulers. That's what this word means. So you love righteousness. You love justice. You love what is right. Like a judge. You love what is right. And that's what causes you to be anointed to judge. Well, if you love righteousness, if you love justice, then you're not going to allow yourself to deal unjustly. You're going to be on the first person you've got to get good at judging is yourself. Because before we can qualify as judges of any other people, especially the angels, we got to first be good at judging ourselves. I said we got to be very good at judging ourselves. And we'll do that if we love justice and hate lawlessness. We're not going to allow law. We're not going to allow ourselves to get by with lawlessness. We're not going to allow ourselves to get by breaking God's commandments. Another way of saying breaking the commandments is saying breaking God's heart. So you got to think of it that way. Because this is, you understand, God's commandments, that's God's heart. That comes from his heart. So to break his commandment is to break his heart. If you're breaking God's heart, that should break your heart. If your heart isn't broken over breaking God's heart, something's not right. Something's not right. We've become dull and we've become insensitive to him. Well, you need to be able to recognize that too. A good judge be able to recognize dullness, being insensitive, unspiritual, fleshly. You should be able to recognize that about yourself if you're walking around in the flesh. I just don't feel like praying. Okay. Has anybody been there? Huh? Dull? Insensitive? Not feeling very spiritual? Not even feeling like you need to be spiritual? What is it? What does it all matter anyway? You know, maybe not say that, but we've all had that. We've all woken up with those feelings. But we know it's not right. We deal with those feelings. We judge them. Even that. This will not do. And we do what it takes to get ourselves sensitive to him. We don't just permit that from ourselves. We want to be sensitive to the heart of God. Being sensitive to the heart of God is being sensitive to his word. Being sensitive to his commandments. Being sensitive to what pleases him and what displeases him. So that we don't do anything that's displeasing to him. And I'll give you a little secret. If you have a feeling dull and insensitive to God, it means you've drifted from the heart of God. you've probably got more over into the letter of the word. And that's why you don't have the desire and the feelings to draw near to God. So if you feel insensitive to God, you feel dull, you just got to get back to the reality of Him, that it's a relationship. There's a God here with a real heart for you. We got to watch. You know, we can get so over into obedience, 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 commandments, 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 that we drift right away from the heart of God. And we forget that the commandments is God's heart. It's connected to someone, not just something, not just some kind of force. It's just a law. Now there's someone behind that law. But we could be like this, you know, in life. You're driving down the road in your car, and there's obstacles in front of you. These cars. Look at all this traffic. Look at all these cars. Man, look how slow this one's going. And it's easy to forget, you know, there's actually someone in that driver's seat. And sometimes you got to stop yourself, and I'm sure we've all done this. You know, you stop yourself and just think, now what happens if that was my mother? What was that? What if that was my father? Would I be like, come on, get out of my way? What if that was my, you know, sometimes you just got to just slow down and realize it's a human being. You know, someone's mother, someone's brother, someone's sister, someone's father, someone's, right? But because we don't feel a personal connection to them, and it's just, we're dull and insensitive to this obstacle that's in front of us. We don't want God to become an obstacle. We don't want to be dull and insensitive to the one that's in the Word. Right? We don't want to be dull and insensitive to Him. So you come back, I mean, I'll just get on my knees and I'll just talk to Him about Him. Just talk to Him about Him. Talk to Him about Him. And He's here and He's listening, and just become more and more sensitive to Him. And then all that dullness will fall away. And you'll be excited again. You'll be excited again. You'll stir up the fire of God that's in you again. Can you say amen? So we're to be anointed judges. We need this anointing. If we're going to judge accurately, we need this anointing. All this knowledge and wisdom, it's all of the Spirit of God. And we need Him upon our life. And we'll have it as we love justice and hate lawlessness. And then also Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. We need the anointing of the Spirit, and we need the Word of God. Hebrews 4. It says in verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful." See, there it is, living. It's not just some dead letter. Don't let it just become a dead letter to you. It's living. Hallelujah. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Could divide the soul from the spirit. And of joints and marrow. It can get in there and fix your joints. It can get in there and fix your marrow. Oh, hallelujah. Give you strong bones. God's word will do it. Go right in there. Just like a surgeon's knife, man, even sharper. Go right in there and fix everything in your body. Right down to your marrow. And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. See, He's the just judge of the whole earth. Nothing gets by Him. He sees right through every case. He sees right into the heart of the matter. And that's why God's judgment is right all the time. But it's not just to be with God, it's to be with us. That same judgment. Where all things are naked and open to our eyes, because our eyes are opened up by God to see into the spirit, into the heart of the matter. We need to know the heart of the matter if we're going to understand all. If things could just be naked and open, there's nothing hidden, nothing covered. We see it for as it really is. We see it for as it really is. All kinds of things, excuses, whatever's going on, but we see it for as it really is. We need that if we're going to be God kind of judges. That's the kind of judges we're to be. The God kind of judges. The God kind of judges. Now that word discerner, the word is a discerner. The word discerner there in the Greek means relating to judging. You can look it up yourself. Relating to judging. Fit for judging. God's word is fit for judging. Skilled in judging. In other words, when you got the word of God, I mean, you got the word of God, you got God's judgment, you got the skill to judge. If you got God's word, you got the skill to judge. You can judge things. Isn't that powerful? The CSB, not the CBS, but the CSB translation says in the latter part of Hebrews 12, it is, talking about the word of God, it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So as we fill ourselves up with God's word in us is able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. So think about this. You're filling yourself up with God's word and thus filling yourself up with the ability to understand and know the thoughts and intents of everyone in every situation, in every case that you need to be a judge over. You can know everything that's going on because you have the word of God. Thank God, you know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the manifestation of the Spirit known as discerning of spirits. Thank God for that manifestation. You see into the realm of the Spirit, discern angels, and demons, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and whatever else. You see into that realm. That's a real manifestation of the Spirit. We see it in operation in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it goes on today. Powerful, powerful manifestation of the Spirit. And we need to be believing God for that here at our church. We need that manifestation to help us out. But if that's not in operation, we still have supernatural discernment in the Word of God. Because the Word is a discerner, or the Word is a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Word is so powerful and so sharp, it cuts through all the facades, it cuts through all the deception, and just lays it all out there. And you can just see things as they are. And nothing trips you up, and you don't get deceived. Don't you want to grow in this? Right? Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. You know, you can be a little simple-minded guy, a little simple-minded person. You know, you don't have a high education. Just a simpleton. But man, you got the word. Hallelujah. You got light. You got understanding that the smartest minds cannot figure out. They cannot figure out. Those that have massaged their intellect into the late hours of the night can't figure out some of the things that are so simple to you. You just see it. It's just so clear to you. There's some things, it's so clear and so obvious to you. You look around and think, doesn't everybody see that? The answer is no. I've had to learn that about some things. Doesn't everybody see this? Doesn't everybody see this? No. A lot of people, their thoughts are they're so far from it. They don't see it at all. They don't see it at all. Some of the things that are so obvious to that anointed mind that mind that's been anointed with the Spirit of God and that heart that has been filled with the Word of God. And that shouldn't be the case. We should all have this kind of discernment. We should all have this kind of wisdom and understanding about things. We should have such light. Such light. There's no darkness in him whatsoever. So why would there be any in us? Let the light of God's word just cast out every shadow. There just can't be any facade, any fakeness, any deception anymore. We just see clearly. Like he says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and talking about love. Of course, love is God. Love is God, and the purpose of the commandment is love. The purpose of the word is to bring us into a place of love. Well, then love's got to be a discerner, right? Because love is a part of God, it's a part of the word. Well, look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 13. He says in verse 12, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, when love has come. If you read this all in its context, he's talking about growing in love. As we grow in love, he says, then we will see, not dimly, but face to face. How many people want to see face to face? No masks. Right? Nothing hidden. Face to face. Then you're going to have to face some things. You're going to have to be willing to face anything and all things about yourself. A lot of folks, there's a lot of things they don't want to face about themselves. They don't want to face that this is wrong. They don't want to face that this is a problem. They don't want to face that they're doing this and going this direction in life. They don't want to face it. So they do not see face to face, but they see very dimly. They go through life and everything's dim. I don't understand. Well, they're stupid. That's what it is. They're just stupid. Well, maybe you're blind. Right? Maybe things have just gotten too dim for you. And the more dim things are, the more of a dim wit you'll be. In other words, you won't be very witty. You won't be very wise. God doesn't want us to be dim wits. Does it? Does he? No, he wants to be witty. And wise, not dim wits. You understand? Light. And we see things face to face. We see things clearly because we're willing to see things about ourselves first. See, we see face to face because we face things about ourselves first. Ooh, hallelujah. And when you face things about yourself first, then the veils are taken away. And another veil is taken away. And you say, no, that's not right. I recognize what you're showing me there, Lord. No, I'll change that right now. And you change, and another veil is taken away. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, it says the veil is taken away in Christ. It's just veil after veil, veil after veil. And the dimmer is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And we're seeing more and more clearly. First, it starts with ourselves. And then we see face to face. And he goes on. He says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then when love has come and I've grown in love, I shall know just as I am also known. In other words, the more transparent we become, the more transparent others will become to you. Thus making all things naked and open. But we have to become more transparent. In other words, the facades and all the things we do out of fear to hide ourselves and protect ourselves and cover ourselves, and I'm afraid what people think about me, and so we put on some kind of imitation of something that we're really not. But the more we can get real with ourselves, the more we can get real about our life and who we are and become more and more transparent, where there's things, we're not hiding things, we're not pretending, we're not playing, we're the real thing, we're the real deal. And when we become more and more transparent, then the more clear and clear everything else becomes. Because again, remember what he said? He said, if you take plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Moving specks is not a problem. If people will let you do it, that's the biggest problem. It's just people allowing you to, oh, look, I see that. Let me get that. And they back away from you. They don't want you to mess with their splinter. They've gotten comfortable with their demonic splinter, with things in their life that aren't right. But if they'll let you, you can see clearly how to get, I can get that fixed. I can get that straightened out. I like what he says over in Ecclesiastes. It says, when the axe is dull, the axe head is dull, you have to use more strength. But wisdom brings success. In other words, when you have wisdom, it's just, you just cut through stuff. You just cut right through it. And people are out there chopping. And I mean, it's taken them a good part of the day just to get that one tree to fall. To just fall that one tree. And you come along with your chainsaw discernment. Chainsaw discernment, man. You just go in there and just, you just see it. Shika, saw. I mean, you're just laying them down. Just laying them down. That's how it's supposed to be. Not to be walking around dim and dull and unsure and uncertain. No, we want to grow in discernment. Become sharp, have sharp minds, a sharp spirit, so we can see clearly, full of light, no deception in us whatsoever. And then we'll see clearly how to be able to set the captives free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, sharpen me, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the word is going to enable us to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And notice he says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is likened to a sword. And it could be a sword of judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 41, the Lord says, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold of judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. Jesus showed the power of judgment when he cursed that fig tree. Remember when he spoke to that fig tree? He said, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And what happened? It withered. The next day, it was completely withered. Because he cursed the breath of his mouth, the sword, the rod. He struck that thing with his words. He struck that thing with his judgment by speaking to it. Man. And you and I are called to do the same thing. He did that before us in the word so that we learn from it, that he's given us this authority. And ultimately, you and I need to grow up into this place where when we speak, we understand we got something that's sharper than a two-edged sword coming out of our mouth. See, just like that fig tree, just like those other trees we were talking about. Just cut the thing down. Just take the thing out. Now, Jesus did to a fig tree to teach us about this authority, to teach us about faith. But we need to understand that there's things literally we can take out with the words of our mouth. Now, I don't run around just cursing things a lot. But we have authority to do it. And there's been a few times I've done some things, and I've seen the effects of it. I mean, there was one nightclub, and it was getting more and more perverted, and I had to drive by the thing every day. And they were just getting more and more perverted with every passing year. And they'd been there for years. They had been rooted and grounded there for years. And finally, one day when they did some vile, they put some vile thing up. And it was encouraging adultery. They had it on their, out on their banner. It was encouraging adultery. And when I saw it, I said, that's it. It got me so angry. A righteous indignation rose up inside me. And like I said, this wasn't just something I just flippantly did. I passed this thing every day, never liked it. But when they did that, something rose up inside me and I cursed that place and I commanded their finances to dry up. And it wasn't long. They had been there longer than probably I'd been on the earth. And it withered away. Just withered away. It died. It was gone. We're out of business. It's a gas station. Today it's a gas station. Helping people. Giving people fuel. There's been a few things like that. We don't just run around and do these things. We're led by the Spirit of God. But this is the kind of authority that you and I do possess. We do have this kind of authority. The Apostle Paul talked a lot about it here in the Scriptures. You see it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He says in verse 10, "Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction." Look what he says. He says, I'm writing these things to you while I'm absent, lest I show up there and start speaking these things to you. And instead of edifying you, I start destroying you with this authority that the Lord has given me, with this ability to judge that the Lord has given me, this sharp judgment that the Lord has given me. He talks about use sharpness. We can get so sharp that when we speak things, it just cuts right through everything. And it can actually, instead of being edified, it can actually be destructive if used wrong. Let me read it from another translation, the Amplified. He says, "For this reason I'm writing these things while absent from you, so that when I come, I will not need to deal severely with you in my use of the authority which the Lord has given me to be used for building you up and not for tearing you down." In other words, he could tear them down. He could tear them up. So he's saying, I'm writing these things so that while I'm absent, so you can get things right, so that when I actually show up there, I don't have to deal with these things. The ERV translation. He says, I'm writing this before I come so that when I am there, I will not have to use my authority to punish you. The Lord gave me that authority to make you stronger, not to destroy you. See, he understood what he had. We need to understand what's available to us. And if we're growing in the Word and we're growing in the anointing and we're doing all that we're supposed to be doing, we're getting sharper and sharper and sharper, then we come to this place right here. We're very cautious about what we say and what we do. Because what we say is going to change things. It's going to have an effect because our words are powerful. The EHV translation, EHV. "It is for this reason that I'm writing these things while I'm still absent, so that when I'm present, I may not have to deal harshly with you using the authority that the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down." Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 8, the apostle said this. He said, "For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed." Now understand, this authority is very real. We grow in this authority as we grow in our understanding of the Lord and of the Word of God. That's what gives us authority in life. It is our understanding of him. It's the authority of the word, the authority of the name of Jesus. In other words, as we grow in our understanding of Jesus, grow in our understanding of the word, as we're walking in light, we have authority that can edify, build, fix things, straighten things out, just cut through all the works of the devil that have bound people up for years. Just cut them free, just right there on the spot. But also, it can be very destructive too. And we can use it to destroy not only the works of the devil, but we can destroy demons. That's why when Jesus came on the scene, the demons understood what Jesus, when Jesus came on the scene, the demons understood what Jesus can do. And he screamed, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" Because he had such power and authority in his words. He'd just say, "Go." And they're gone. They're gone. That's what you and I are to walk in. In my name, you'll cast out demons. Whoo, hallelujah. Command demons to go, and that sword goes out, a judgment goes forth, and demons are gone. But first, the Bible says in James, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, if you want the devil to flee, like, if you, how many want that to happen? You just walk in and go, "Go." And there's enough laser light in those words. It's like a rod. You know, you remember some of these, you know, John Wayne movies, these old Western movies, you know? And the guy walks into the bar, and a fight breaks out, and he just goes, "Psh," and one shot, man. Guy's on the ground, turns around, that guy's on the ground. That guy's on the ground. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Wouldn't that be nice in real life? One shot. Knocks him out all one shot. I mean, that's better than Tyson and all the other boxers throughout history. Just, psh, psh. They're down. They're gone. Friend, it doesn't have to just be Hollywood. It could be the spirit world. We just walk in and go, "Go." It's just one shot. I don't have to sit there and dance around the devil. "Devil, I'm telling you to go. You better move. You better get out of here. Devil! Devil, I'm warning you. Get out, devil." 12th round. Now, devil. Go! Go! It just doesn't have to be that way. It could just be like Jesus. One word. God. "What's your name?" "Legion, for we are many." Go. Come on. That's how we're to be in the spirit, guys. That's how sharp, powerful our words are, because we're full of the Word. Our minds are renewed to the Word of God. We understand God. We have His heart. And we know the thoughts and intents of all things that are going on around us. And with one word, we can drive it out. The Bible says He cast out demons with a word. That's a powerful word. I said, that's a powerful word. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he'll flee. See, we're growing up in our submission to his word. Submitting to God, submitting to his word. Submitting ourselves to him. See, getting the veils off. Getting all the disobedience. Understanding what's right in the sight of God. And we're becoming more and more submissive. As we become more and more submissive, we're becoming more and more sharper. As we become more sharp, we become more and more powerful. As we become more and more powerful, man, demons flee. They're easily resisted. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you as in terror. Whoo, hallelujah. Demons will go. Paul was walking in this. Paul was walking in this. Did I say the ICB translation of 2 Corinthians 10:8? Well, here it is. ICB. "It is true that we brag freely about the authority the Lord gave us, but he gave us this authority to strengthen you, not hurt you. So I will not be ashamed of the bragging we do." No, he talked about this. He obviously talked about it. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're getting a hold of this authority that's available to us. We want to grow in this. God wants us to be these kind of judges. We can just cut through the darkness that's in this world. Set captives free and deal with the wicked. Be led by the Spirit of God. We might even be led to curse some things and command that abortion clinic to wither and die and dry up. And command that nightclub over there. Now, don't just run around doing this thing. Just don't run around cursing everything. Let's get everything else I've been saying up front. But he wants us to grow in this. So he wants us to grow in this. He wants us to stay. We could take things down, take things out in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Give you a couple more examples. Peter, over in Acts chapter 5. You remember over in Acts chapter 5? Where Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? They came, they lied, they pretended that they were a part of what everybody else was doing and given all that they sold their land, were given the whole profit. They lied about it, and Peter called them out, and when he spoke, Ananias fell over dead. And the ushers came and they buried him out back. A little while later, his wife came in. A few hours later, his wife came in there, and he said, tell me, did you and your husband sell the land for such and such money? Oh, yeah, we did. And she lied, too. He said, how did both of you have conceived in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? The people that just buried your husband, they're at the door, and they're going to take you out and bury you. His words, they cut her, killed her. Judgment. Judgment right in the church. And fear came upon everybody. Fear came upon the whole city when they heard about these things. We need fear back in the house of God. The church needs to be feared. The early church was successful because they had that fear, because they understood that authority, they understood that judgment. And there's other scriptures, but we'll stop there. Let's just thank the Lord for this incredible calling that he has placed upon our life to come up higher and to be judges, to be a part of the bar association of heaven, and to be spiritual legal professionals, walking in the wisdom and discernment of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom and discernment of the Word of God. We thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you for showing us these things and teaching us, Lord. Get us sharper and sharper and sharper. Help us, Lord, not to hold things back from the light, that we would not cover up and hide anything in our life that's not right. We want reality. We want the truth. Because as we lay hold of the truth for ourselves, we'll be able to set many other people free, and we will not be deceived by anyone or anything. Hallelujah. Nothing will be able to deceive us, because we thank you for that light. Thank you, Lord, for the light. Thank you for the light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.